Koi will give two different presentations on the book's topics. There will also be a performance piece, projection art, and more. Again, that's the Radical Mycology book release, Saturday, February 6th, from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at Tabor Space, 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 5:59 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla. Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State and County Municipal Employees and the current president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight, I'm joined as usual by my Sisters in the Struggle.
Hi, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell. I'm vice president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unions, and I'm also the president and CEO of DATOT, Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Good evening, Portland, and those out there in Radioland. This is Deborah Hall with the American Federation of Teachers. Welcome.
So tonight our guest is Ken Allen. He is Executive Director of Oregon American Federation of State and County Municipal Employees. Brother Allen has been the Executive Director since 1995 and has more than 30 years of being a union activist and an advocate for workers. Tonight, we've invited him to discuss with us and our listeners what actions unions should take in light of the impending United States Supreme Court decision regarding Fedrix versus California Teachers Association. Welcome, Brother Allen.
Good evening. Thank you.
So, Kenny, before we get into the what union should do, can you give our listeners a brief update on exactly what Fedrix versus California Teachers Association is?
So, in the public sector, it's in most collective bargaining agreements, unions negotiate what's called a fair share clause. And that says that if somebody chooses not to join the union in that bargaining unit, they have to pay fair share fees equivalent to what the cost of representation and bargaining is. So those clauses are virtually in every collective bargaining agreement in the public sector across the country. And so somebody has the right to decide they don't want to be a union member, but they're going to pay for their representation because they get the benefits of that collective bargaining agreement. They get the raises, they get the health care benefits, and they get representation.
So it's my impression this decision will affect about 25 states. So what are the differences between those states which are right to works and those states that are not?
So about 25 states in this country have collective bargaining for public workers that allows these fair share agreements, and they're allowed statutory state by state basis. Those states decide that the public employee unions can have fair share agreements in their collective bargaining agreements. This Supreme Court case would make a decision across the whole country that says in the public sector you can't have fair share agreements. It's interesting because in the private sector, union security clauses are decided on a state-by-state basis. And so there are 25 states that don't allow union security clauses in the private sector, but it's on a state-by-state basis. This Supreme Court decision would say that no state can allow fair share agreements in public sector collective bargaining agreements.
And would that also affect private unions?
No, it would not affect private unions. It would only impact public sector unions. So the major public sector unions in this country, the four biggest are AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees, the National Education Association, American Federation of Teachers, and Service Employees International Union.
Okay, so those are what we would call the big dogs then.
Those are the big public sector unions. Then you have the Firefighters Union, some police unions, and some other unions that have smaller segments.
Okay. So if this were to go through, exactly, what would the changes be for how a union should do business?
Well, the immediate impact, and the Supreme Court decisions take effect immediately. The immediate impact in Oregon, let's just use an example, is that no union security clause that had fair share would be enforced with an employer. And so each union would only get the dues from the members that had joined the union, and no dues for what we would call freeloaders. They would not have to join the union or pay any dues. So the financial impact, depending on the union, will be different. And the firefighters, where it's just one occupation that they represent, they work firehouses and there's a real brotherhood and sisterhood, they have about 99% membership. The financial impact will not be very much on them. But some of the other public employee unions have 78% membership, 84% membership, so they'll have a big financial impact on those unions. And we have to be realistic. Then there's going to be some folks that are currently members, but we might call them soft members. They don't really believe in the union too much. They're going to drop their membership too. We have to be realistic about that. So this is the aim of the Koch brothers and every other wealthy elites to impact both the economic power that the union, public sector unions have to bargain good contracts for their members, and the political power that public employee unions have across the country to fight for progressive causes. So it'll be a big impact on both of those areas, politics, legislation, and the economic power that unions have to negotiate good contracts.
So if they have a what we would call an unfavorable ruling, that would erase the Abu decision that took place in, was it 1977?
I think that was 1977. It was Abu versus the Detroit School Board, an old case actually. That was a 9-0 decision, and you folks have to think about their history. This was a Nixon Supreme Court. So it was somewhat conservative, but 9-0, they upheld these union security clauses with fair share agreements. So it's really, the Supreme Court's not supposed to operate this way. They're not supposed to undo decisions of prior Supreme Courts unless there's a major, major change. Like in the 50s, there were major changes in looking at previous Supreme Court cases in some of the landmark civil rights decisions. But this 9-0 decision would be overdone by this court. And we expect, if folks are realistic and you appraise where this Supreme Court is at and the kind of questions that were asked on January 11th in front of the Supreme Court, we expect a decision that is not favorable to working people and public employee unions.
Okay. So let's get into what unions can do in order to combat this.
So, the at least at Council 75, we don't have an attitude about, something hard faces us, we ought to quit, we ought to lay down. Council 75, AFSCME, we're going to fight this. And our way of fighting is to strengthen our membership. So we have a lot more one-on-one conversations happening between the officers and stewards of our locals talking to the members about why they should stay union members. We are doing house calls to fair share fee payers and visiting them in their workplaces to convince them that they ought to join the union.
Thank you, Brother Allen. This is Deborah Hall. What I'm seeing and what I'm feeling out there is this is causing our movement for us to sit down and talk with each other and become friends and family again. And I, kind of feel that although it's a negative situation because we're having to organize our folks and to really sit down and have conversations, that this could really work in our favor, that aspect of it, because we're getting in touch with our members and really finding out who they are, what they need, what they want.
I think that's a really good point, because we've been working on this for a year and a half, and there is not a silver bullet to undo a Supreme Court case, but there is return to the grassroots and the way we used to do things, which is a lot of one-on-one conversations and making sure that we're listening to our members and listening to their priorities, and then being as active and aggressive as we can to represent their interests at the bargaining table or city council or down in Salem, the legislature. The answer is reconnecting and building a more powerful labor movement.
So you mentioned collective bargaining. So this decision, again, if it's unfavorable, it would not erase away collective bargaining?
No. So this decision would only ban the union security, the fair share clauses in our contracts. It would not erase collective bargaining. So if you look for another state that's comparable, this has occurred in the public sector in Michigan in 2010. Their legislature, under the governor's direction, passed right to work in the public sector. The unions still had the ability to bargain and still do bargain over wages, hours, and working conditions. So that's the Michigan example. A much stronger anti-union action was taken in Wisconsin when Act 10 passed. And in Wisconsin, it not only banned these union security clauses, but it removed the ability of public employee unions to bargain over wages, hours, and working conditions. A much worse outcome there than Michigan, but still losing union security clauses is a big blow to the labor movement.
Yes, Kent, I just, as you were just expounding on what happened in Michigan, and I'm from the staff of the UAW out of Detroit, and I've been here about 4 years, so I was there when they got a Republican governor, Rick Snyder. And all of this, and we're saying that how this we can strengthen our membership by communicating more with them, especially now with the political world and what's happening now in politics, and letting them know actually about this, what's going on, this particular, what the Supreme Court possibly can do. But the thing of it is, the outcome can be what's happening in, what did happen in Michigan. They voted in a Republican governor, he went right to work state, and then just one thing after other. So that's a prime example of how we need to communicate with our fellow members.
So recently, during Martin Luther King weekend, we did a house call blitz, and we went out and knocked on the doors of these fee payers that worked at OHSU and Multnomah County. And when we got to have conversations, 52% of those folks joined the union. So this is possible to re-strengthen our union. But this anti-union effort, we have to be real about who's directing it. This is the Koch brothers. You know, they spent $400 million this last year just on politics. This year, they're pledged to spend almost $1 billion. They are the directing of the Freedom Foundation and these lawsuits against public employee unions to weaken us so that we're not as strong, we're not as able to be involved as many progressive campaigns as we have here in Oregon. So we're not able to fight off all the bad ballot measures that the Bill Sizemores of the world have brought up against us. The Koch brothers really want to weaken all unions, but public employee unions in particular. You know, we still have unions in this country are down to about 11% membership. Public sector is still at 35%, and that's why they want to go after us.
So you mentioned, what was it, Freedom?
Freedom Foundation.
Exactly. Haven't I heard that before?
That's a weird name for what. So the Freedom Foundation is based in Washington and Oregon, and they're getting money from large business interests and conservative interests to go after our public employee unions in both states. And they actually have sent out mailers trying to encourage people to drop their union membership. They started out in Washington. They've come down to Oregon. They've handed out materials that's not true to public workers trying to get them to drop their membership. So, yeah, you have heard of them. And, you know, it's interesting because when our members hear about these activities, the lawsuits, and the Freedom Foundation anti-union activities. Freedom Foundation actually has put out materials saying that public workers should make less money and have worse benefits. When our members hear that, they're more inclined to join the union. Or when the fee payer, they're like, oh my gosh, my union's under attack. Give me that card. I'm signing that card because we need to keep strong unions.
Okay. So if you've just joined us, this is the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio here on KBOO 90.7, where we highlight the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class. Our guest tonight is Ken Allen. He is Executive Director of AFSCME, the American Federation of State and County Municipal Employees, and we're talking about the Friedrichs decision and what unions need to do in order to combat it. So it's my impression, Ken, again, if it goes through, then unions have to kind of reorganize how they do business.
Yeah, you know, we need to, because I said before, there's no silver bullet, we need to go back to the basics and make sure that we're always communicating one-on-one with our membership. Email is not communications. One-on-one communications is what moves people. And so we need to rebuild our union with leaders that are willing to do that and get a more active membership. I think that's totally doable, and that when workers are confronted with these kind of attacks on them, they're going to defend themselves. And you know, nobody wants to lose decent health care benefits or sure. decent wages. They're going to join together and do what it takes to continue to have a strong organization.
So it won't necessarily kill us, but it will really harm us.
You know, their goal is to give us a severe wound mm-hmm. or kill us. And we can't lay down. We got to say, you know what? We can survive any Supreme Court decision. We can survive any bad ballot measure by forming an even stronger organization, one that is more grassroots and activates more folks. You know, that's no different than if the employer came up and said, we're going to reduce your health care benefits by 35%. The way you fight that is to get all your members together and say, heck no, we're not going to put up with that. So it's not really any difference going back to basics. The way that auto workers organized the plants in the 30s, the way that mm-hmm. other folks organized in the 50s, and the way public workers really organized in the 70s and 80s. It's getting back to basics.
I've seen, just to add to what you were saying, here in the Pacific Northwest, and we've talked to several people, it's a job growth here. There are jobs here, Pacific Northwest. And you were right about going back to basics. And we, especially through this particular program, have been going through community involvement, faith-based involvement, political involvement, whatever, that we can get the message back to the people. So that's one area, especially our president, Tina, has been doing. We bring in community leaders or community organizations, how we can go stand before them. We've got several projects planned in the near future to go and have a captive audience. Students, PSU, we're going to PSU to talk to them about, and like one-on-one, the importance of being in a union. And then all the particulars that you've said tonight, how there are the Koch brothers, those out there to kill the union. So you're right, it's back to the basics. Let's get out there and start talking whatever way we can, through faith-based organizations, through community organizations, whatever we need to do is to, and then go one-on-one. Because when we speak, people listen.
Yes, they do.
You know, I gave a speech at the State Fed Convention where I talked about the way that our labor movement can be rebuilt and fend off these attacks is to go back to the labor movement that was a movement about building economic power, but a civil rights movement, because the labor movement was about what Dr. King was supporting us when he got killed at an AFSCME mm-hmm. strike.
Yes.
Cesar Chavez, that was a civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. Dr. Barber in North Carolina right now with Moral Mondays. Mm-hmm. This is where the labor movement ought to go, because the most exploited people in our society are people of color, recent immigrants, women, and that's not going to change. They need to understand, and they need to see that our labor organizations are home to them, a way to advance their future for their families. And when people understand that, then they organize their workplace. And, you know, we not only need to do more internal organizing, but a higher percentage of unions' resources need to be spent on bringing new workers into the union. You know, new hospital workers, like SEIU just organized Sacred Heart Hospital in Eugene. We need to spend more money bringing more work sites into unions. Then we'll keep the power that we need for the working class.
Totally agree.
Exactly.
Yes.
And also, it seems that there's kind of a reoccurring theme that I'm hearing here is that, I just forgot what I was going to say. Sorry, folks.
Oops.
Well, but if the unions weren't effective and if we weren't doing good by people, we would not be under attack. We wouldn't be drawing, you know, because people think that, that unions are dead, unions are gone, unions are ineffective. But you're not under attack when you're nobody and when you're nothing and when you have no voice, you know. And I guess what I want folks to hear is that we do have the power. We do have the voice. And that's why they're coming after us. And we can't sit here and take it. We can't take it.
I couldn't agree more. You know, the coalition that was founded in Oregon between community groups and labor organizations in the last couple of years, Fair Shot for Oregon. You know, it's all the major unions, the AFL-CIO, it's the CAUSA, it's the Center for Intercultural Organizing, it's the Urban League, it's APANO, it's Family Forward, and other organizations. We have this coalition, and we took five issues to Salem last legislative session. End profiling, ban the box, retirement security, paid sick days, and minimum wage. We got four of those passed last session, and we're going to get a minimum wage bill passed this session. And our new top priority this session is stopping wage theft. You know, wage theft impacts thousands and thousands of thousands of low-income workers in Oregon. We're going to put a stop to that so that when they're able to get an increase in their wages, it's not stolen by the employer. Mm-hmm. That coalition is really what the labor movement ought to be all about, mm-hmm. right? We're advancing the whole interest of low-wage workers and middle-class workers, and that's what we ought to all be about. And that's why we're demonstrating why people ought to support unions.
I was there in Salem when that legislature banned the box. Yep. The power, just walking up there to see all the labor people standing around with their signs and then getting inside and seeing all around, standing around the room were labor people. And it was just influencing others to make a move that y'all need to do what's right. Yep. So you're right. We need to go back to the basics on that.
Yeah, the basics. And to me, the basics are labor unions are worker rights and civil rights organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. That's what we need to stand up for and fight for.
Yes.
So, Kim, before we let you go, there is a misnomer when people talk about this Supreme Court case. And the misnomer is people have said that they have been robbed of their First Amendment rights, that unions are supporting issues that don't affect them. Can you give us a little more background on that?
And I have to do that without saying some swear words because we're on the radio.
Thanks. That would be appreciated. Beep, beep.
You know, what I can tell folks is, to me, it's a complete misnomer because these folks do not have to join the union. They only have to pay dues for their representation. And in all the public employee unions, these fee payers can request the proportion of their dues that are used for politics in a rebate. And that goes back to them, in our organization, it goes back to them twice a year. They get two checks a year for the amount of union money that was spent on politics. So they pay zero to politics. They are only paying for the representation of what we bargain. Let me just address this freeloader issue. The four of us could all work in the same workplace. And you three powerful women could all pay union dues. And I could say, oh, no, I'm not paying union dues. I'm going to be a freeloader. And I could get in trouble, and the union could have to spend $20,000 representing me of the hard-earned dues dollars that you all paid. And I could be a freeloader and demand the same representation. That is not right in our country,
right.
And that's what this case is all about.
Right. Well, like I said, it's a misnomer because that's what you hear from people is that you hear this basic complaint that the union spends money on politicians that they don't agree with. I know here in Oregon, the American Federation of State and County Municipal Employees, we have a conservative caucus. We really engage our members who may not who have a different point of view. And so when we go through our election process, or I should say our endorsement process, we always make sure that everybody's in the room before we try to endorse a candidate.
Yeah, we have a statewide pack of 25 members that listens, does the interviews, reads the statements that the candidates give back, the questionnaires, and makes an educated recommendation to the 85-member board made up of members. It's all members making decisions about which candidates we ought to recommend to our membership. I don't have a vote in that. It's all members. And so that's the way most unions are. They're mm-hmm. member-driven and mm-hmm. member-driven decisions, making those decisions on the basis of what's best for members. So it's a misnomer for these. And these folks, they could go to union meetings and get active, and the unions say, no, I don't support those candidates.
Exactly.
Right? There's no limit on speech inside of a union.
Exactly. Right. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because, like I said, it is a huge misnomer. People believe that just because they don't like something, they just want to stop it, not taking under consideration that in their attempts to stop it, that it really harms them and the future of their ability to bargain contracts.
Yeah, if one wants to look at a right-to-work state with no collective bargaining rights for public employees, they ought to just drive over to Idaho and get a job in an Idaho state government or teaching job, and they'll get about a 40% reduction in their pay, benefits, and pension. That's what it means to not have collective bargaining.
So when are we anticipating this decision?
Sometime between late April and the end of June.
Okay. So in the meantime, unions and union activists can get out there and talk to fee payers and encourage them, let them know what the rest of the story is, so that they have a clear understanding about what's taking place and giving them another opportunity to join.
Exactly. My partner and I got to have 10 conversations over that weekend with people that were home. Mm-hmm. And out of the 10 conversations, we signed up 8 members. Okay. That was inspiring to me,
yeah.
Right? That's inspiring.
That really is.
It sure is.
Yes. And so anybody could experience that in their workplace by going around and helping build the union.
Well, great. Well, sisters, do you have any other questions?
Not a question, but I have a comment. So 9 people basically have brought this case forward. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so we could basically have 9 people deciding the fate of millions of people in America. We can't let this go. Like, you know, one person had a problem with the Pledge of Allegiance, and now we can't say, come on, people. America's for the people. It's not 9 people or one person. It's all of us.
I was listening to you how, especially this is a political year, and that's all we ever hear, how the unions, they take the people and they go vet these politicians. They ask them questions, and then after they get elected or whatever, they hold their foot to the fire. You told us you were going to do this or do that. So unions have so much, it's a wide perspective here, especially during this time when one man, and I won't even give his name, can make a decision or say he's going to decide on the effect of so many people and make that move. But if labor is there, which are unions of all people, we've got an opportunity to stop that. Find out where you're coming from the beginning. So I've seen vetting before, politicians, governors, and state reps or whatever. And immediately, if they said something that's against that what we've been trying to stand for and fight for, they don't get the support, you know. And if they happen to become elected to that position, we still monitor them. And stand on their door and knock on their door and says, why do you do that? You're hurting people. So unions can do so much. You know, I don't even see why anybody would even consider not being in a union.
Yeah. We could show you the voting record of our every legislator on the bills that we had as priorities for the last 30 years. We keep those records of
yes.
every legislator. Say there were 16 bills we followed, we know exactly how they
yes.
voted. And that's what we judge them
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Exactly, people.
Yes.
That's right.
Hold them to that
exactly.
and monitor what they do. See, we are working people, and so we're busy working. But the union leader, the union itself, monitors that they have the time to follow through on that.
Yeah.
The political action committee that follows and monitors what those legislators are doing. That's affecting the hardworking people. So, yeah, and you know what? And I am so glad. I just want to commend the union for bringing this to our attention.
Yes.
This is happening. And this can happen. It's real. was really real. So thank you for all your hard work.
No problem.
Thank you for your focus. Thank you for coming here today and explaining to our listeners this is what it is and this could happen. And this is you gave us a scenario of exactly what happens if this should pass. So again, thank you, Ken.
Thank you for having me.
I think before we go, we need to really make it clear to our listeners that the union is the watchdog. The union is the voice box.
Yes.
And if the union is weakened, then your power is weakened. And so we really need people to be out there talking to fee payers so that they understand that it's not just another, you know, 50, 30, or 70 bucks in their pocket every month. What we're looking at is what your lifetime earnings will be. Because if you quiet the voice of unions, then you won't be able to have to negotiate successful contracts. You won't be able to work on issues that are important to your community. And so, again, it is extremely important that you get out there and that you talk to those fee payers so that they have a clear understanding of the actions that the Supreme Court is taking. So once again, Brother Allen, I want to thank you very much for coming and talking to our listeners. Well, listeners, that's it. It's a wrap. Thank you. Holla.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the first annual Portland Bob Marley Birthday Party, Saturday, February 6th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Melody Ballroom in Portland. The life of Bob Marley will be celebrated with live reggae by Simba Puma and the Roaring Lions,